Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. I'm David Hinchliff, and you can find us at pitchvision.com. I have with me today Darren Talbot. Darren runs his own cricket coaching company called Darren Talbot Cricket Coaching. You can find out more about what he does at cricketcoach.uk.com. Darren's main aim is to get children playing cricket. So he's working at the grassroots level, trying to make cricket as popular with the kids as football. How are you, Darren? All right?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah.
Let's start with a little bit about your coaching philosophy. Can you tell me about your aims and ideals and what philosophy you take into a coaching session?
Yeah, it's a good question. I believe in making cricket fun. I tend to coach children the sort of primary school age mostly. And I kind of feel it's critical that they enjoy their cricket at that age and don't get bombarded with too many coaching points. And really what I do with my school clubs and activities is I just try and make it gameplay as much as possible. Now, obviously, within that, there are opportunities to talk to them about calling and running in the wickets and making sure they're holding the bat properly and getting to bowl properly. But I kind of feel that as long as they feel they're enjoying themselves, they're trying to throw the ball as hard as possible, bowl as fast as possible, hit it as far as possible, they're actually getting to enjoy the game of cricket. And hopefully that gives them something to want to continue when they go on to secondary schools. I think once they get to sort of 11 or 12, then that's the sort of stage where you can actually sit down and go, right, now, you know how to hit the ball quite hard. Let's see if you can hit it along the ground and play a straight drive and work on these kind of things. But I don't like to bombard them with too many technical stuff at an early age because a lot of them will lose interest. And I just want them to just go and have fun.
So fun is this central pillar for you. What kind of ages are you working with most often?
Well, the most often age group I'm sort of dealing with are sort of 9, 10, 11-year-olds. We sort of do year 4, 5, 6. And I like to feel when I come away from one of the clubs I've been coaching at that, you know, we've all laughed and we've all enjoyed ourselves and, you know, we've made it a bit competitive because kids like to win. They hate to lose. They like to win. It's amazing how often you can make a match become a tie. And that's often one of the great ways of doing it. They come away feeling they've both won then. And that's the sort of ethos that I try and work at, that come away and they feel as though they've just had a great time. And I know that when I come away, I feel as though I've had a great time. I know they have as well.
Television's a big influence on kids that age too. Do you find that with all the hype around 2020 cricket, Premier Leagues and all the rest of it at the top level, you're seeing any changes in the kids that you coach?
I think I'm finding now that more kids are becoming sort of a little bit more aware about about cricket that's going on. But one of the problems is that there's still, some of the schools I go into, most of them don't have access to Sky television. And of course, 99% of cricket on the TV these days is on Sky. So actually trying to get them to watch cricket is a bit of a problem. Now, I think Sky's coverage is marvellous, and I'd find it very hard to fault it. But not having mainstream access on TV to the cricket is a bit of a problem, because I guess typically I'm going into state schools and maybe some slightly poor areas maybe. And let's be honest, Sky TV is still a luxury item. So you find a lot of these kids have never even seen a game of cricket, and it's much harder to coach someone who's never seen cricket than it is for those who regularly get a chance to watch on television.
How important would you say it is for children to be seeing professional cricket either on the TV or live?
I think it's a very important part of really understanding how to play cricket and the sort of the whys and wherefores of it, and also sort of hero worship. I mean, when I was growing up, Botham and Gower were sort of my great heroes, and they were, you know, wonderful cricketers, fantastic to watch. And these days we have the Flintoff, the Peterson and the Panastars, and you know, we do have these characters, but if you're not seeing them at all on a newspaper or in a magazine, it's really hard to really sort of use them to develop your cricketing prowess. And I think it's critical that these guys get a chance to see them playing on television.
So you'd say that things have changed compared to years ago then. Would you also say that the children of today has changed too?
That's a very good question. I think children are very different. I mean, certainly comparing the children I coach now to what it was like when I was younger, discipline tends to be the biggest problem, actually. I think when we were 9, 10, 11, 12, we have a huge amount of respect for our elders, and this is, you know, in every school. I don't think that the amount of challenging of authority that goes on now would have ever been allowed to happen. As a coach, it's a hell of a challenge because obviously, really, it's down to teachers and more importantly, parents to instill discipline in children. So it's when they're questioning every single decision. I blame football for this as much as I'm trying to make cricket as popular as football. I'm really trying very, very hard to help children understand that cricket is a very different game, and you don't question the umpire, and you don't throw your bat on the ground and have a hissy fit. And I'm not talking about 9-year-olds, dear. I'm talking about 14-year-olds. So, yes, it has changed a lot. Whether there's any connection with that with computer games or not, I don't know. I certainly was always played a lot of computer games when I was younger. So I don't think that's necessarily a problem. But times have changed, and as much as we could sit here and moan about it, it's a fact, and you just know as a coach you have to get on with it and find ways around dealing with children perhaps a little bit more difficult than they used to be.
Imagine then that you have a young player that you're coaching. They've seen the difference between cricket and other sports in terms of the spirit of the game. What advice would you give if they came to you to ask how to play in the spirit of cricket?
If only I was asked that question, it would make my life a lot easier. And what I tend to find is obviously if I'm doing a lot of game playing in school clubs, obviously there are decisions being made left, right and centre. And they're never out or they're never not out. And it's the constant challenging of authority that is the challenge. And despite the fact that most weeks in most clubs I'm sitting there and saying, right, you know, guys, well bowled, well fielded, well batted, you know, great game, but you know, you cannot challenge decisions. They're so used to doing it in everyday life that it just it continues. And I mean, this isn't just in one school or two schools. This is in most of the schools I go into. All you can do as a coach is keep reiterating the point. And you know, there are times when maybe you have to take a heavier hand with some of them and say, sorry, but you're going to have to sit out. You know, I don't allow that sort of behaviour. You mustn't do it. You sit out the rest of the session, then we'll talk about it afterwards. And occasionally that will work, but maybe only for a week or two and they'll forget and it'll be back to square one again. So it is a major, major problem, and I'm surprised it hasn't crept to the professional game more. Although you do see an awful lot of quiet extent to umpires, which I don't think used to go on.
Let's look at the other end of the scale and try and balance things out a bit. When you go into schools and find players with talent and the right attitude, that spark of something, how do you follow up?
It's amazing how often, actually, you do go into schools, and I mean, even some of the birthday parties I do, you see kids there who are quite natural, like natural throwers, natural catchers, natural hitters. But when you sort of go through and ask them in the lesson or in the party, hands up who plays for the club, there's usually only three or four of them. And yet if you ask them to put their hands up and ask them how to play for a football club, 99 times out of 100, it's all of them. And I always make a point of wherever I am, whether I'm coaching in a school or a party, wherever it is, I always make a point of trying to encourage them to join their local cricket clubs. But often they don't even know where the local club is or how to join or anything. And you know, one of the things that I'm trying to work on is developing a close link with as many cricket clubs in the country as possible to help attract more youngsters to their clubs. And the more children that I can get feeding into local clubs, then the more chance we have of getting the number of people playing cricket increasing. I'd be very, very happy to hear from any club in the UK who'd be interested in working with us to make that happen.
And they can get in touch with you through your website?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, and my website is absolutely fine, yes.
I'll make sure there's a link up to the show notes on pitchvision.com. Okay, let's move on to senior club cricket now. One of the things I've noticed playing and coaching around the UK is there seems to be a general reluctance of players above the age of 16 or 17 when they start moving into senior cricket to accept coaching and looking to improve through deliberate practice. Is that something that you find as well?
This is an excellent point, actually. I when I first started as a full-time coach a couple of years ago, I was coaching everybody. And I found that actually coaching those who are sort of 16 plus, I found it much, much less enjoyable, so much so that after a couple of months, I decided that actually I would only coach 16s and unders. Now, I do make the odd exception for club members who come to me and say, look, I need some time in the boulder machine. Can you give me a hand? But on the whole, I'm not quite sure what it is about people of those sort of ages. I guess they get to a sort of stage where either they're just playing for fun and really don't want to take it seriously enough that they have to have coaching sessions, or they're playing at such a level that they don't believe they need coaching. Now, we know as coaches that professional players, you know, need coaching on a regular basis, aren't they? Sitting down with their laptops and analysing all their shots and things. But I think club players just don't seem to see that this is an important part of their game. And even net sessions, and my club in Cobham, we're in the Premier Division of the EGB structure in Surrey. There's some fantastic cricketers there. Net sessions, there's never a coach, as far as I'm aware. And I think, you know, when you're playing at that sort of level, not to decry my club, I think most clubs are the same. Every club really should have a senior coach that oversees not only junior sections, but the senior sections as well.
What skills and experience would you like to see that senior coach having?
Well, I think going back to the sort of time when I was playing a good standard of the first 11 cricket, I think it's critical that it's someone that players can look up to. And probably you could get away with doing that if you were a senior player, should we say, you know, sort of 45, 50 plus, and, you know, good tens of thousands of runs for the club, experienced coach. Or, you know, ideally, it would be someone with a first-class cricket or, you know, international cricket background. It's no coincidence. If you look at all the professionals for all the sort of major public schools, they're all ex-first-class players, with very, very few exceptions. And I think, actually, that when you get to that sort of level, it doesn't necessarily make them better coaches. I actually feel that there are other people out there who are probably as good as, if not better coaches than some of these guys. But the fact of the matter is, they've been there and done it. And when you're 17, 18 years old, or you're a senior club player of some standing, they're the sort of people you want to be learning from, rather than someone that you've got nothing to hang on. Sorry, what did you do? Well, yeah, I played a good standard of club cricket, blah, blah, blah. That's it, you know. But if you've played international cricket for Zimbabwe or India or whatever, then actually you can say, well, okay, I'm pretty sure this guy knows what he's talking about. And it just makes it easier to have that leap of faith of getting them to help you with your skills.
So you would say there's a difference between a good player who's become a coach and a good coach?
Not always a difference, but I think in terms of from a player's perspective, a senior player would always choose an ex-professional player over a club player who's become a coach. I don't necessarily think that they would necessarily make better coaches, probably often doesn't. There's something inherent in human beings that I think you look for the people that have been there and done it, rather than necessarily the people who know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that follows the kind of experience that I've seen in a few different clubs. But do you think that there's anything that the ECB, the governing body of cricket in the UK, could do about that?
I'm not sure there's anything that the ECB can do to do that. Obviously, for senior players, all they're looking for are sort of ex-pros to be coaching them. So, I mean, I see this from a different perspective, because as a coach myself who didn't play professionally, you know, I'd like to think that my coaching would be considered good enough after I've been through the coaching systems I have, that there's no reason to why I shouldn't be able to coach at senior levels. So I think this is a bit of a quandary here. I think the ECB coaching system is very, very good. I mean, the UK's TC system is possibly not as strong as the old ECB system from what I understand in places. I mean, certainly the ECB qualified coaches that I come across to be, I think, more technically aware and perhaps taught more strongly than maybe the UKCC system, which I think up to about level two is, I think it's still fairly basic, but I think it's important it's that sort of level, because we need to get more coaches qualified. And I think one of the big problems with the system, I don't know where quite the fault lies, but it's very, very hard to get coaches qualified. I'm very lucky that my club is a focus club within Surrey, which means we go towards the top of the list for coaches. But I coach at other clubs throughout Surrey and Middlesex, and a lot of friends who are coaches. And they have a lot of people within their club who are desperate to get qualified so they can get enough coaches to club mark and work to all these things. But the waiting list is so huge that they just cannot get on the courses. So I think the biggest thing that can be achieved is a accessibility. So that these sort of 50, 60, 70 coaches we've got sitting here in Surrey who are all probably going to be excellent coaches. They're already coaching at clubs and have been for some time, but aren't qualified. They just need to get on these courses and get their qualifications. I think that will help local club cricket enormously. Anything that can be done either by the ECB or local counties to achieve that would be very, very much welcomed by me.
So once they're on the courses, you like the way the system is at the moment. Is there anything specific that you like?
I think the course itself, the teaching coaches the how to coach, style of coaching, sort of the question style, the coaching bugs, as they like to call it. As much as when I was sitting there doing the course, I was thinking this is a bit strange. I was thinking I was going to learn how to teach steam bowling to someone because I've never bowled it before, and that'd be quite useful. Actually, when you come away from the course, and you're in a primary school, and you're faced with 20, 10 and 11 year olds, and you have to learn how to coach properly. The question style of coaching, although it doesn't necessarily come naturally, actually, once you've been on the course, and you find yourself in front of these kids, it is a fantastic skill, and I think the course covers that very, very well. If I was to be mildly critical, I would say it probably doesn't focus enough on the what to coach aspect, and although it does go through the basics of bowling from the base position, all these kind of things, actually, for someone like myself, I was a spin bowler, and I feel very comfortable coaching spin to anybody. When I first did the course, actually coming away and trying to teach seam bowling to someone who was wondering how to bowl in swing or how to bowl out swing, and I've never bowled it in my life before, I would like to have come away from a level 2 course knowing a bit more about that. Now they did touch on it, but probably not enough detail to be able to sit there with a 1-to-1 session for an hour and actually pick up all the points of what's going right and what's going wrong. Now I know there's sort of workshop between level 2 and level 3 that address these things a little bit more, but probably given the bulk of coaches are probably going to stop around level 2, I think maybe a little bit more technical detail would have been useful.
With that in mind, what advice would you give to other coaches? Would you encourage them to find out more technical information because the course doesn't have enough time to cover it?
Yeah, the way I worked around it was sort of twofold. Really, a lot of reading and sort of reading about how other people do it. A bit more sort of background that way, and actually going out and doing the coaching. Going out and having one or two coaching sessions whereby, sometimes it's not that good. Once you've done two or three sessions like that, you actually learn the whys and wherefores a bit more, and you learn more about what you need to know. So it's experience, really. I think the whole thing with coaching is experience. Once you're qualified and you know how to do it, you go out there and do hours and hours and hours of coaching practice, and that makes a big difference. Another thing I would love to have come away with, although the little booklets they give you, the sort of 20 page booklet, are great. Actually, within about 3 weeks, you know how to do the Lord's game, you know how to do non-stop continuous cricket, and probably it will be much more useful to have a book of skills and drills, cool up, cool downs, and warm ups, and things like that. Because I found that the only way I picked up more and more of these things was actually by speaking to other coaches. Which you don't always do, because it can be a lonely business, cricket coaching, doing a lot of it on your own. And going on websites like Harrow Drive, where there are a lot of fielding drills and things, and that is incredibly useful. But actually, I think there's a huge gap in the market for a sort of a A6, 50-page, warm-up, cool-down, fun games playing cricket kind of thing that school teachers would love this as well. I mean, people are often saying to me, while you're here, can you give me a couple of ideas? So I've got PE lessons coming up, and frankly, I don't really know quite what games to play with them. And I think there's an enormous gap in the market for that sort of booklet. And obviously, if it came from the ECB, it would make life a lot easier for all of us. But any coaches out there that have got any ideas, perhaps we should have a central system whereby we can share some of these ideas.
Well, we have some good news on that, as Pitch Vision Academy is soon going to be having a dedicated area just for coaches and coaching.
That sounds excellent.
Moving on from that, what are your aims for the future for yourself, your coaching, and more widely, grassroots crickets in general?
Well, quite a big question there. I mean, my ambitions for my business are pretty vast, actually. I mean, we are at the moment, we have 10 area managers across the UK, mostly on sort of the south and east and west sides, although I have an area manager up in Scotland now and recently appointed one in Bolton. But what I'm looking for, and we were in 25 schools this summer, and I hope by probably the next 3 years' time, I'd like to think we'll be in over 200 schools. We're also running 2020 cricket camp this summer in Surrey and Middlesex, and I very much see this as being something that is very innovative and something we could roll out across the whole of the country. The only two things that are preventing this at the moment are a lack of coaches and area managers and a lack of funding. One of the problems we've had, and we probably all have recently, is with petrol prices. And trying to persuade coaches to work for £15 an hour when they're travelling sort of 50 or 60 miles sometimes to go and coach is becoming more and more of a problem. So obviously this pushes up the price of clubs that we have to offer and make it less affordable, which goes completely against what I'm trying to achieve in the first place. So really, I'm looking for more coaches so we can spread throughout the UK, more area managers, and some funding to get some companies coming in and helping us to subsidise with after school clubs and before school clubs in state schools, get more and more kids playing playing cricket would be hugely beneficial. And anybody who might be interested in doing that, please contact me on my website, either if you're a coach or an area manager. Or indeed, if you're a company that might be able to help us with some funding. In terms of other things I'd like to achieve, getting into schools and actually getting kids playing cricket is kind of stage one, because what I want to see them doing is actually playing some matches. And although we have these fantastic quick cricket festivals that have been organised throughout the country, I think quick cricket is a fantastic game for primary school children. A lot of time for it. But I'd like to see more regular leagues played, and I think I'd like to see more schools having more competitive fixtures on a regular basis. I know there are problems with travel and availability in the school calendar, but going back 25, 30 years ago, regular competitive sport was, I think a critical part of what made us who we are now. And maybe the very fact that there is so little competitive sport may be one of the reasons why perhaps we have this Asbo generation. I firmly believe that things like competitive sport makes quite a big difference to that, not to mention the obesity problem we've got in the country. So all these things together are very, very important parts of child development, and I guarantee all the cricket coaching has been a very important a component in improving the situation. In terms of what maybe the ECB could do to sort of help cricket at a grassroots level, I think they've done an excellent job. I think the whole ECB Premier Division system we have in most counties has increased the quality of cricket played enormously. If I had some criticism of that, and it's hard to criticise it from a cricketing perspective, but from an overall club perspective, it has made cricket clubs less like the traditional cricket club that we know, because often now the ECB sides are sort of buying in cricketers, and that doesn't mean that sort of the traditional club players perhaps are becoming less and less, and I think that's a little bit sad. So if there was a way of striking a balance with that, that would obviously improve things. But overall, you can't criticise a structure that's making cricket stronger, because that's what the ECB should be there for and what they're doing. I think the Chance to Shine project is also very good. I mean, theoretically, it's a competitor of ours, but I don't see it that way, because what we're trying to achieve is exactly the same thing. Now, we're all trying to get more and more children in state schools and perhaps underprivileged areas playing cricket and then playing it in clubs. I'm fully supportive of everything they're doing. One little idea maybe is I'd quite like to see an ECB Premier Division structure for youth cricket as well. One of the frustrations I have on a Sunday morning coaching my under-14s is the fact that teams tend to be of vastly differing standards, and often leagues are sort of structured geographically rather than by ability. And I think it's important, certainly by the time you get to sort of 13, 14 years old, I think it's important that in your cricket development, you're playing against teams of similar ability week in, week out. And there's no fun for anybody getting thrashed every week by vastly better teams or even vice versa, thrashing teams week in, week out. And I'd very much like to see local leagues, either through the ECB or even just through themselves, just restructured slightly so that leagues are, of course they have to be geographical because they'll be travelling across country on a Sunday morning too often, but within that, I'd like to see the local club leagues being played with a sort of divisional structure so that the strongest teams are playing against each other more. And of course, this has a knock-on effect for counties who are sort of looking to recruit district players or county underage players because, you know, week in, week out, know that there's a fair chance that the better players are going to be within those clubs. I think at the moment, perhaps some of the district systems aren't quite as strong as they could be. So, one or two ideas there. There's always things you can do, and I think it'd be critical. But overall, I'm hugely supportive of the way the game is going.
And we can drill that down even more when thinking about players. There are people at every level who want to improve, be it recreational or young player with talent who wants to become a professional cricketer at some point. How would you like to see those types of players go about their preparation?
It's a very good question there. I have certain frustrations, certainly within Surrey. I'm, again, not be critical of Surrey because it's a hard enough job organising cricket. But the system we have here is that when you recommend players for county trials, the trials seem to happen during the winter when children haven't been playing cricket for 6 months typically, might be playing hockey or playing rugby or playing football. And I think you don't always get the best out of them that way. And I'd very much like to see more sort of trials and coaching. County level coaching, county level trials going on during the summertime. I know it's difficult because it's us coaches are the ones that are involved in that, and of course we're already tied up with other projects with our own club. I'm very surprised there's not more of a sort of scouting system that goes around. Certainly within Surrey, it's not overly apparent. I could be wrong. I'm sure other counties have other situations, but I think there's an opportunity there for much more scouting. To go on. In terms of the players themselves, I have two or three players at my club who have county ambitions. And those of you who have those ambitions, you've just got to work very hard at your game and don't be complacent. I can speak from bitter experience of playing up to young cricketers under 19 county level and not making it. And looking back now, I can see quite why that didn't happen. I didn't work hard enough at my game. So if there's a message for anybody out there who is looking to play county cricket, work hard, don't take any granted, keep your ambition strong.
How much work would you say it takes to break through to the next level?
I think it takes a lot of work. Obviously, you're relying on natural ability to a great degree, and I think there are very few players that make it that have done it through sheer hard work and no natural ability. I think the vast majority of players are sort of quite natural. But you really, really have to work hard at your fitness. Fitness 25 years ago was much less of an issue. But now, actually, you know, being that little bit overweight, not looking after yourself makes a huge difference. You need to make sure that you are looking after yourself well and confidence. Well, I think confidence is perhaps one of the most important elements. I found I went into a Surrey changing room with strong persons like Alan Holyoake and Mark Butcher and frankly I was a timid little soul at 18 years old. And it's a big place to be. But as much as you need to have confidence in your own ability, have confidence in yourself as well. And I think that's a very, very important characteristic.
And of course, that's exactly the kind of thing you can find in the Pitch Vision Academy My Coach section, which is a perfect segue into an advert for that. It's also a perfect time to bring things to a close. Thanks very much, Darren, for the chat and the insight into the way cricket coaching is and the way players can use it if they have the ambition.
Thank you.